Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. They chat about topics like Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
Welcome back to another episode of Y'all Gaming, where we talk about games and stuff. We ask y'all, have y'all been gaming? Also, if you haven't been gaming, we can maybe recommend some stuff that you could be gaming on. So, I'm CK Breezy. It's Coney. Coney, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. I've been gaming. I don't know if I've been gaming in a lot of new stuff. We'll talk about some of the stuff in just a second. Right now, I'm gaming on my webcam, because I don't know if you guys noticed, but it keeps changing. So, my saturation is all off, so I just, like, the colors are all weird, and I don't know, man. Drivers are weird, so I've been PC gaming, trying to get my webcam to work, but we played a couple games. First one that we wanted to talk about that I really like, it's a little game we like to call Party Animals, which is basically just Gang Beasts again.
Yeah, but I didn't really play Gang Beasts before, so, like, this is my first Gang Beasts outing, and, I don't know, man, it's fun. It's silly looking. It's cute looking. The trash talk is bountiful, but, like, friendly, obviously.
Sure.
Who's really gonna be, yo, stop fucking throwing me, son? Like, imagine.
Yeah, you're not actually gonna get mad. And if you are, come on.
Come on, bro. This ain't where you need to be. But yeah, no, it's just, it's a great game. I've enjoyed it. I played a lot with Tech and them, or Tech Live and some of his people. Mm-hmm. If you have not played it, basically, it's like a battle, or like a battle royale, with like eight people, and you go around, you can pick up weapons and stuff, but the main point is either to hit people enough until they die, or you throw them off the side, and on any of the maps you can throw them off the side. So it's a fun game.
It's basically the same as Gang Beasts, but now it's better. So you said you didn't play Gang Beasts. It's literally the same thing, but the models are better now because they're all like animals and they have weapons, which I don't think they had in Gang Beasts. The thing that Gang Beasts had though were levels. And I know this is just a demo. I can't wait for them to put more stuff in. But, like, one of the things that really got me was that this game actually felt complete. Like, it doesn't... Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, some of these games, it's like, okay, this is a meme game. I'll play for 10 minutes. But when I played this, it was like...
It looks complete, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has a good sheen to it. Like, there's a level of polish about the whole thing that makes it really good.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, I'm thinking about... Sometimes when I see a water level in, like, an indie game... I'm a little like, all right, what do they do with this water? But the water in that game looks nice. You know what I'm saying? On that submarine level, the gas does a good job of, like, you know, closing you in or whatever. The airplane level looks really nice. And the way that they close that in with the ice, if it gets too long, that's, like, pretty sick. So they got a good formula going. I'm very interested to see what the next few levels they put in, or what animals they put in, or if they're going to, like, make you buy DLC animals.
Yeah.
Like, man, I really want to be a Shiba. Like, yeah, you can get that for $2, brother. Like,
definitely put some meme animals in there. I would definitely pay DLC for a raccoon. I would love that personally. Okay. I feel like I don't know. The water looks good. The fur looks good too. I was feeling my processor for some reason. My CPU was like overheating. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I could rent any game on this. I have a 2080. What the, and like a 9700, what the hell is going on with my computer? It was just mad hot. And that was a problem. But yeah, I think the game can be really good. I mean, I guess we could talk about what happened to Fall Guys, but I could see it having another Fall Guys.
What happened to Fall Guys?
You want
to
talk about what happened? Fall Guys is dead.
What?
Fall Guys is dead. It's over. Nope. No, we're done.
I'm going to look at the Steam charts, bro.
We're done with that. Now, the player base isn't so bad. The player base isn't bad. Viewers, though, we off that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, the new rival's hotness is, what is it, Among Us? Also, retweet that last week. I forgot to put a tweet out.
Oh.
Hold on, let me look at the Steam charts, though, because you got me.
Steam charts aren't bad. Charts.
I mean, because we get to see the rise and fall, too. So, you know, like, if it's Fall Guys. Fall Guys currently, oh.
Yeah. Okay. So it had a 50% drop off.
Yes.
But that happens. That happens with new games like this. I'm not mad about that. It's like, okay. So season one and season two. Season two is about to come out. Everybody's hyped for it. Everybody's talking about it. It comes out. There's like maybe 5 new games, and only one of them is good. Like,
well,
at that point, what do you get? They still haven't fixed names. What the hell's going on there? Why can't I just have a name? Why do I have to be Fall Guy 1599? I think they don't care, if I'm being honest. I genuinely think they made their bag and they're okay with it dying. Seriously.
I thought that was I thought that was a good idea to not have everybody's name up there so people weren't always getting hyped for stream sniping, even though they were doing it anyway. It was like the Fortnite thing where you could hide names. However, that is an option. Like,
yep.
And that's not an option with Fall Guys. Like, you just have to deal with that. So you think that...
It should be an option.
You think that... They like didn't expect the success they got. They got the success they got, and now they're just rolling in their dough.
No question. No, dude, I know they didn't expect this. They did not expect this pop off. They expected it to fail a week before. I know it. And then it popped off, and everybody's happy. But now, from what I heard, and this is just on Twitter, I don't know if this is true, they have 200 employees, and 30 of them are working on Fall Guys. They have 30 people on Fall Guys.
So what are the other, like, 170 doing?
I don't know.
Do they have another game? What is this company?
It's Mediatonic. They might have another game, but do you remember when Fortnite came out and it was supposed to be like a tower defense thing? And I was like, build your fort from zombies. And then they're like, oh, wait, the Battle Royale is the big mode. And then they shifted everything to that. That's what they should have done with Fall Guys, dude. If they had 200 people working on this game, if they had people working around the clock in teams to develop new games and like, okay, you are the season 3 team. Put us together a beach update. Okay, you're the season 4 team. You have to do a futuristic update. Season 5, you guys do cowboys. And they had people building up over time. Could you imagine? But no, apparently they just weren't ready for it. And I think because of that, Fall Guys is at a point where I don't see it coming back.
Yeah, I'm looking at their other games. I don't know any of these except for Hatsuful Boyfriend. They made that.
Oh, they made that?
Yeah.
You don't mean Devolver, right?
No, that's Mediatonic game. I'm looking
at it. I did not know that. Good for them.
Yeah. That's Mediatonic. But they also made Murder by Numbers and Gears Pop and Fable Fortune. And those are I don't know any of those games. So,
oh my God. Yeah, I mean, Gears Pop is a Pop Funko game or Funko Pop game. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They've made some games. I just don't know why, if they're still working on them. And if they are, they should probably, except for Hatsuful Boyfriend. That game, that's a meme game that people like. So. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens in the future. But I definitely feel what you're saying about like, if they really came through and added 4 games, and you said one of them is good, 5 games, and one of them is good.
So they added a new Hoopsie Daisy, which was single, like you're not on a team, which is not great, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. They added a new egg scramble game where you had to collect eggs, which is not great, but it's fine.
Okay.
They added a game called Night Fever, which is very good, which is basically, it's like another whirly gig or like a hit parade. It's just like get to the end, but it has really cool obstacles, and more of those is always good. That's an easy formula.
Right.
And then they added a game that relies on a function that doesn't work. It's called Wall Guys. In Wall Guys, that's the one where you push like the bricks and you have to go up the walls, but you can push like the things to stand on.
Okay.
The problem is R2 doesn't always work. So you'll be trying to grab it and you're jumping up and your guy won't grab it. And it's like, what? I lost money off it. Well, not really, but I was in Twitch Rivals and I could not grab the edge. I'm right there. I'm holding the button, but it's not working. And maybe there's a factor to it, but it's very weird and very janky. And like, that's not what you want season two, where you have to convince people to keep playing. So that game pissed me off. And then on top of that, it's like, what else did they add? Now you can have like a nameplate, but what's the point? Like, I don't know if you've seen it, but now you can have like a, you know how in like Street Fighter Tekken and all the fighting games, you can have like a plate with art on it and like a title that says like, the master of his domain or some dumb thing like that. They have that for Fall Guys, but nobody can see your name, so what's the point? I just, it doesn't. And then they added a skin based on their social media guy, and I'm like, oh my god, man. Like, this just, the game is,
I don't know. So you're 100% done with that game.
Yeah, unless I play Rivals. If I play Rivals, maybe. Okay. I mean, I'll do some, I'll get down on some Rivals. I like commentating, and I do like playing it.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, playing it on my own for fun, I'm not really feeling it as much anymore. And like, it's harder to get my friends to play it. So.
Facts. You can get your friends to play Among Us, though. What do you think about their success? Do you think they're going to do right by the success that they're getting now?
It's hard. I know they wanted to make a new game, and they decided not to, which I don't know if that's the right play. It probably is, because people probably
wouldn't care. They're probably just going to... They said they scrapped it to do all the stuff with Among Us 1 now, so...
Yeah, which is probably fine. I don't know what the right play is. I feel like Among Us 2 would have been fine, but if they want to just, like, stick to this game... But the problem is they're on a time limit, because, like... Eventually, this game's gonna, like, it happens to everything popular. It goes up, and then it comes down, unless you have an ungodly amount of money to fund it the same way that, like, Riot does. So.
You know what's really gonna happen is this game's gonna somehow, it's gonna somehow become problematic.
For
lying to your friends, bro. A lot of people have been calling it Gaslight Simulator, but I've already had friends who, like, cannot sit and watch this because it, like, brings up bad memories. And I was like, damn, dude, that's... Yee. That's kind of real. And then I feel bad because when I'm the imposter, like, and I win, I'm like, damn, dude, you're the best liar. Like,
well, you won that tournament. You won that that thing last Friday.
Off of the most godlike stalling I've ever done in my life. But yeah, I won that tournament off of being imposter. So,
you didn't want to play it. You don't like Mafia games. I don't know why, but there's a difference.
There's a difference in this one. Mafia, the reason why I don't like Mafia is because it's a lot of downtime. The downtime in Among Us is filled with tasks. The downtime in Mafia is just putting my head down.
Well, there's also no facts in Mafia. Like, you can't say I was here or you did that. There's nothing. Right. It's all just soul reads. It's just not the same. Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah, so that too. I feel like the way that you can catch people in this game is funny. Because being on cams and catching anybody killing and then just come back in the commentary and be like, yeah, bro, so I was on cams.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain yourself? Like, and so, like, that's fun. I would never get that on Mafia. Plus, as I said, Mafia is more of a real-life thing, and I ain't have nobody yelling in my face, bro. I saw that one clip of, not even one clip, I was watching that one time where... he's a Rivals commentator, can't remember. Oh, G-Pick was yelling at one of the redacteds, and he was yelling directly in his face, and I was like, could not have been me. Could not even a little
bit
have been me.
That's the fun, though. That's the fun. I did one of those at Summit, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs at Light. I'm telling him, you're so stupid. How can you be this stupid? And he's just Fortnite flossing in my face. Like, that's kind of the fun of it, because I know that I'm wrong. He got me. He's right. I'm pretty sure he cheated. But it was pretty funny, and, like, that's part of the fun of it, is he doesn't take it seriously, so I don't know. I love lying to my friends, especially. It's very fun. Not in serious moments, but if I get an excuse to do it.
Okay.
It's a fun time.
I will be questioning the legitimacy of our friendship.
Chill. We know bigger liars. We know bigger liars. Chill. No. I don't lie in my everyday life. But if I get a chance to lie in a game, hell yeah. I'll take it every time. That's fun. That's a good time.
All right.
Even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike any other site, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need. just like they have for over 3 million businesses. And right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it very fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now and use Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. And guys and gals, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering off on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word, Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
So I put out a tweet earlier today that says, you know, if you guys want to talk to us about some game opinions, then you can reply to this tweet, or you can just tweet with the hashtag #YallGaming, as I can see all that anyway. Woo! So if you have anything that you want us to talk about right now, make sure y'all tweet with the hashtag #YallGaming, as we're about to hop into that segment right now.
Let's do it.
First up, we got Tito. He says, y'all gaming. Among Us, Phasmophobia, Fall Guys, Party Animals, games that are fairly simple and relatively cheap. Despite this, these games are very successful. Do you think that the relative low cost and simplicity of these games will affect the industry overall, and how?
Nope. You know
what
it is?
Bad games are bad games, dude. That's how you sell those. Like, you get it. You jump in super quick and try to make a quick buck and get out of there. So,
well, it's like going to an escape room or a movie. It's like $15, you know, you spend a night with your friends, maybe two or three, and that's it. And that's fine. I think it's more like, there was one summer that I'll never forget. I think it was summer, but we were playing, you were around for this, we were playing something, and it was like Rocket League, The Culling, maybe Secret Ponchos. Like, there were like Hollow Knight, maybe? I don't remember, but there was one summer where like 5 to 10 really good indie games all came out at the same time, and there was something new to play like every week. And it was like, holy crap, all these games are dropping. And they were all like pretty, like Rocket League is a very simple thing. It's a very like sort of, it has a high level of simplicity there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can get in and understand Rocket League after like 3 games. So,
yeah, and I think it's another one of those seasons of, like, a bunch of games just come out at once, and then we you know, you can certainly glean something from it, but I don't think, like, I think we just got lucky, and I think there's going to be another drought for a while. And I also wouldn't say Phasmo is that simple, honestly. I've been, like, looking into it. I haven't played it yet because none of my friends will play it with me. But Phasmo looks pretty complicated, so I don't know if I...
Bro, haven't you... Just go play with Fats, man. He loves that game. There you go.
Oh, does he?
I'll link you up with Fats.
Hell yeah.
And then there you go. You can play a game with Fats in his Discord. They're pretty cool people. They'll yell at the top of their lungs. There you go.
I'm about it.
Because I'm not playing with you, but...
It's supposed to be me. I'm supposed to play with Kenny, Tito, and Alex, I think. But, like, last night we tried to play, but Tito was... it was too late for him. Kenny has... like blood pressure issues, so like, oh god, don't want to kill him.
He can't play. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, don't want to give him a heart attack.
Yeah, he might die, and that would be that'd be content. But I don't want to.
Okay. You know?
If I don't, at least turn your webcam on. You know,
imagine then
I
could get something at your YouTube title. My friend dies on stream.
My friend, my friend literally dies. Me with the pog face. He did what? My friend's heart exploded live, man, on cams.
You're that's Jake Paul levels right there, bro. Just anything for the content, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Get a Kotaku interview. All right, so Tito
has one more, though. Yep. He said, fighting games' biggest barrier for entry in modern video game ecosystem is not difficulty, it's the business model. If fighting games go free-to-play with purchasable cosmetics, fighting games can make it through the next gen. If not, fighting games will cease to sell by the end of next gen. Thoughts? I don't think that's true. I think it is. Difficulty, because no one wants to get their ass beat like that long. You know what I'm saying? And like that's why you see fighting games like take off at the beginning, where everyone's like, "Oh shit, Street Fighter, yeah, right." And then they go in there and they play all these people that have been playing Street Fighter since the beginning of time, and they're getting like slapped and waxed and shit, and then they're like upset. So then they stop playing those. And they go back to games where, like, you can be bad and win. Like in Fortnite, you can be bad and just hide your way to a win. In a fighting game, like if I'm better than you, you just lose. So I think that's a really big issue with fighting games. There are free-to-play fighting games out there right now. Like technically, I mean, you have Brawlhalla and no one, and people are still not really giving that game a chance. I think, what was that other one, that Robo one? Rising Thunder? Rising Thunder. I think that was free-to-play. Yeah. I think that was free-to-play. And people were still quitting that game pretty quickly, too. So KI is free-to-play now. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, because, like, a lot of people have thought it was the barrier for entry. So it's like, you make the game easier, more people want to play it. That's not true, because then it's too simple and people hate it. Then people were like, well, if you make something really complicated, people will like it. People don't like that. Then they said, well, if you just make the same game, but with different characters, that was like an Icons kind of beat, you know? And it's like, yeah. Okay, well, nobody wants that. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I don't think there is one. I think fighting games are just niche right now. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. They're just niche. I mean, like, there's not so... There's all these other games that have come up with so much content, and fighting games are just like, you either play someone or you don't. Or you play someone or you train. Because, like, arcade game modes are never really the thing. You're not going to play a fighting game super long for its story. I mean, I've definitely beaten, like, both Injustice and Injustice 2 story, but I would never go back to be like, you know what I need to do right now, bro? Nah, that's not a thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, there isn't that much content to a fighting game that isn't inherently competitive that works. Tekken's got, like, Tekken Bowl, but if you want to bowl, just go bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a gimmick. It's, like, silly, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I feel like, we'll see. I think the Riot fighting game is going to be the litmus test to see how, because like they came up with ways to sort of refresh CSGO, that formula. I think there is a way to do fighting games. I actually think it might lie in the team model. So the same way that like KOF is 3-on-3, if you have a 6-player fighting game with tags and stuff, which is kind of what the Icon successor Vortex Rising is trying to do. I think where it's like
Rushdown Revolt, sir.
I'm sorry, Rushdown Revolt. My bad. It changed the name. Forgive me. No, but I think if you do like a 3v3 fighting game, then you introduce the team element, so you can blame your team if you lose. You have a specialization, which I think is important for people. Like if it's not a class or if it's not a thing that you you're doing specifically, maybe it's like a matchup or something that you feel really comfortable in. I think people really like that. That's why people love to be healers or medics or supports or whatever. They pride themselves on helping the team rather than like being a superstar themselves. So maybe you have strong assists, or maybe you're a good battery player. I think introducing those kind of like Marvel and 3v3 team things where you have a battery, you have somebody on point, you have an anchor. I think that'd be cool. And that's a good way to sort of connect the two ideas, but I don't know if it would work or not, honestly. I think there's a bunch of different ways you could do it, but in terms of like the answer, I don't know. I think fighting games right now are just way too, I don't know how you make them cool, you know?
Yeah, because like with Smash and shit and like Party Animal stuff, like so the game can be played competitive, but it is designed as a party game, right? So it's going to sell regardless. Competitive or not, it's going to sell regardless. Fighting games are inherently competitive. Like, it is me versus you, and whoever's better wins. So it's hard to market that any other way.
Yeah.
And, like, make sales off of it. So, yeah, I mean, you're gonna get the competitive side of the market, even the casual competitive side of the market, but to get just straight casuals to stay for, like, longer than a week, then not, probably not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Moving on, we got Axelrod Gaming that says, what are your thoughts on the concept of overrated and underrated? Do you think these are used incorrectly? Do you feel they properly define their subject? What can communities do to deviate away from these concepts or utilize them differently?
You talking about just like games that are overrated, underrated, characters? Are they like...
I think it just means the overall concept. I think that let's just use it in the terms of like Smash. I do not like hearing the terms overrated and underrated for characters anymore, because like it's just, I don't know, it's just annoying. You expect, like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, like when people say stuff is underrated, they ask us that all the time. We always get the same answers until they were good again. So In Smash 4, it was like, who's underrated? Peach and Toon Link. Why?
Yep, because I feel like
they're potentially two good characters, but there's not enough representation. Yep. What's overrated? A character that has a lot of representation but may not be that good. So, like, Inkling, I guess. But then again, all the Inklings fell off, so now it's really just Cosmos. So now he's just there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. It's a weird concept. I think when it comes to games in general, overrated and underrated is a concept that works, but usually it's used in like a malicious way. Like, for instance, as I've said many times, I think Nier is overrated. I think that that game is a fantastic story, but as a gameplay aspect, it falls flat. And when people tell me that that game is amazing because of the story without talking about the gameplay, I think that's weird because you got the game to play the game, unless you wanted to watch a visual novel, to which you can do that. But if we're going to talk about gameplay for a game, it is overrated. All the other like platinum games, I feel like, have done a better job at either being a combo heavy game or something that is unique. It's like Wonderful 101. That is a very unique style of gameplay. Like, I don't think you'll ever be able to get that on anything else. I didn't even finish that game because halfway through it, it got a little boring. But it is a very unique style of gameplay for me. Astral Chain, unique style of gameplay. Bayonetta's combos, sick. You know what I'm saying? But like, when I played Nier, and I did play it. I played through Route A and Route B, but I didn't finish C, D, and E, which I'll probably go back and do at some point in time. I honestly just felt like I was mashing attack and then dodge, and like that was it. Like that was, there was no creativity in my combos. Just smash attack until the thing's dead and dodge. So I don't know. As a game, as a full game, it's a little overrated. As a story, fantastic. As a game, it's weighed down by its gameplay. So.
The problem with those games that I've run into is unless they force you to do cool stuff, you can usually just get by with mashing. Like when I played, I played Nier Automata, and it was like, I usually was just like, I did the same stuff over and over. I feel like I'm just mashing. It's like a hack and slash. And if I'm not forced to do anything different, I won't. And that's not really the game's fault. That's me. Some people will like the high level of creativity and like finding new ways. I'm not really that guy. I don't care about like a million, like when I play Dark Souls, I only pick broadsword. That's it. I don't care about all this.
But that's the thing though. When you're playing a hack and slash like that, it should promote you to want to do that. And Nier didn't really feel like that. Nier felt like the gameplay was to get from story point A to story point B. And that is totally fine. However, don't like take the story and forget the gameplay and then say the gameplay or the game is a masterpiece. Like, it doesn't work to me.
No, I feel that because I think that's a good point about the story bit, because like Blueberry said in the chat that you can kind of do that in Spider-Man for PS4, but they give you a lot of options that are really satisfying to you. So even in that game, I tried different stuff. So maybe it's not, maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit because I thought like maybe, okay, it's just not for me and I'm not creative, I'm stupid. But like I did like doing it in that game. I didn't really change up my style in Dark Souls, but the environment and the atmosphere and the variation in fights made them interesting enough for me to not care. In Nier, I didn't like the storytelling and I didn't really like the combat, but I think it's just a tone thing. Like, I think it's very Japanese. Like, so I was actually lurking in Omni's stream recently, and Omni was playing Zero Time Dilemma or something. And at the beginning of the game, there's a point where the guy says, okay, there's a coin under my foot. Is it heads up or is it tails up? If you say if you're correct, then you win. If you're wrong, then six of you will die. And it's like, okay, that's a pretty simple thing, right? It's a coin flip. It's 50-50, and it's a dumb little thing. But then the way that Japanese storytelling works is there are 9 characters in the room. You have to get all 9 of their reactions. They're like, oh, it's a 50-50. It could be either one. I wonder what it is. Is he really going to kill us? I can't believe he would do this. And it goes through all 9 of them, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Okay. And then they're like, I think it's red. No, you fool. It has to be blue. Well, how could he know?
I would watch an Among Us lobby of this for sure.
It would take so long. But that's the problem, is like Japanese storytelling is like that. When I played Nier, it's just, I think as somebody who didn't grow up with anime, that didn't like absorb that culture, that content, I watched this and I'm like, maybe it's my like sugar cereal Western Cowboys and Indians brain where I'm just like, okay, I get it. Come on, do something next thing. Please,
I feel you. I feel you. I'm hit or miss on Japanese storytelling, but like, Nier actually covers a lot more than just, you know, the standard anime tropes. It's just the, I don't know, like the style of it does make
it's
it feel like you're just gonna be.
It's so like saccharine. It's too syrupy for me. I don't know. I get why people like it, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, to get back to the original point, underrated or overrated, who cares?
I mean, just like what you like, bro. If someone tells you what you like is overrated, but you like it, then whatever. But if someone tells you it's underrated, then you want to give it a try, then sick too. But, you know, that's the end goal, basically. It's like, you're going to like what you like, man. Like, we're just two guys giving opinions from the vast amount of times we've been gaming since I was like fucking four. I don't know. I just got a lot of opinions. And so we're just here talking about opinions. And if you don't agree with it, just respectfully disagree and keep it moving.
Opinion is the lowest form of knowledge. You don't need any training. You don't need any experience. You don't need any. This is an Al Snow quote. It's a good one. Like, you can have an opinion without any experience, without any training, without anything at all. You could just make something up. So why do you care so much about what people on the internet think?
Facts.
Or why are you trying to seem cool by seeming different on the internet? You know what I mean? Double like, those are people who are like, that's why I get mad when you call me a contrarian or a hipster. I'm saying what I believe, okay?
Nah, you're a hipster, bro.
No, I'm not. I like Minecraft. It's a good game.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, we'll give that it game up. That's a very popular game, so yep. You know what?
That game's Paul.
Just one. Anyway.
That's the one. Next up.
Sean says, how do you guys feel about the trend of free-to-play games making extremely high profits on microtransactions? While I feel that loot boxes containing cosmetics is fine, I don't know how to feel about Genshin Impact where characters with unique gameplay are locked behind them. This is somewhat related to my first question. How would you feel about fighting games going free-to-play but having characters locked behind a paywall with a weekly rotation or free-to-try? That's Brawlhalla. It's fun. It's great. Great time. It's not behind a paywall, though. You can actually get in-game currency, and you can buy characters. And the in-game currency, like, rate of return is not terrible. So, like, basically, if you get... Like, when you play Brawlhalla, you're not going to have, like, 900 mains anyway. So, like, the free week is for you to find what you like, and then you then buy that character, and then you're set. So you don't even have to play anything else. To your first question, I have been explaining that gacha in Genshin Impact is only as strong as you. So I could have played this game with... Oh, I've been playing this game free, but I could have played this game not with Diluc and just got a bunch of free... all of the free characters that they give you and still enjoyed myself. It's the people that really feel like they need to be ahead of everything all the time that are spending $1,000, $2,000. Mm-hmm. And that is on you. That's like going to a casino and then being mad that you gambled your fucking life savings away. That's on you, bro. Like, no one told you to do that. So... I can't really agree with the first point that you made. I think that, like, y'all have harped in on the gacha aspect of that game whilst forgetting that it is a very large adventure game that gives you a crazy amount of primogems already for free. So I've done at least 100 rolls through the time that I've played, and that's probably being generous. So I don't know, man. Like, I can't... For other games, maybe that could be an issue when the players that are locked behind the paywalls are so good, mm-hmm. and it's like a PvP game, and so you have to pay the money to get further. But this is a PvE game, so I don't know. It just doesn't really apply to me like that.
I think there's too many different factors, because like, I can't speak on Genshin Impact.
Right.
But it sounds like there is a high amount of, like, you're getting a lot of stuff for free. Obviously, if we're talking, like... freemium model league mm-hmm. is another one. You have so many champions you can try and you get a lot for free, but if you want to try one, you have to pay money or just save up, whatever.
Right.
I do think it's worth noting, like, in some circumstances it is predatory, obviously, because you're tickling that little part of your brain that feels good when the colors light up, and it's like somebody's going to be really susceptible to that, and you're gonna ruin somebody's life if they're a whale. Which obviously we should be going against, but I think it comes on a case-to-case basis, because, like, now you've got people who just outright hate microtransactions, and I love microtransactions. If I like a game, I want more of it. I don't care if I have to pay more. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, and some people are like, well, it should be in the game anyway. Sometimes, yeah, but sometimes it's to continue development costs, which I'm down for. Like, I like that. I think the concept of a battle pass is amazing, honestly.
Love it. Every time.
I think it's incredible. But that said, it's like, it depends on the value for what you're getting, and it depends on what the game wants. Because EA, like, I didn't play it, but apparently the Battlefront games, the Star Wars things, were really bad for this because it was PvP, but the stuff that you unlocked, you had to get the loot boxes, you had to spend the money, blah, blah, blah. I do think loot boxes are god-awful, though. I want to pay for what I want to pay for, and if you don't give me that opportunity, I'm not going to do it, you know?
Okay. All right. Well,
I think that was the play back in the Overwatch day, but I think people have sort of gotten wise to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like what's in the loot box and in the microtransaction definitely matters a lot too. So, like, if it's pay to win, I don't like that. But if it's like purely cosmetics, then that's lit. But if it is in a single player game, then that's also on you. Like, how much does it matter for you to get a certain character? Mm-hmm. It did not matter to me much. I just wanted to play the game, and if I had a good team, then I had a good team. But anyway, so that's, I don't know. I feel like that's a hard question to answer, to be completely honest, with like a full-on answer. Yeah, it's like I like it and I dislike it at the same time, and it really depends on the type. Microtransactions, like if I was playing Overwatch and the microtransaction was like level up your main gun. Okay, I'm not playing that game anymore. Like I'm not playing that game anymore. But it's usually just, you know, hey, here's some new skins. That's fine because I don't need them, and I can still play the game.
But it'll turn you off if you get like, if there's one skin you want and you can't get it, and you keep getting everything around it. Like I when I played Overwatch, I kept getting skins for Zenyatta, and I'm not gonna play Zenyatta. I don't want to play Zenyatta. Stop giving. He is the opposite of what I want, and it turned me off. It's like I'm not gonna spend money because you're gonna give me more Zenyatta skins. So it's.
I think a targeted loot box could work too. Like, I don't know why they don't do that.
Give me 4x. Like, give me this, like, for this character. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, all right, man. I'm using the McCree loot box. Like, there's a chance that I'll get a McCree skin, a McCree gun, a McCree like spray, all that good stuff. But it's the McCree only loot box, and it's like, okay, that could have worked, but I mean,
whatever. You probably need a lot more cosmetics to do that, because you're gonna, because like otherwise you could just buy 10 McCree loot boxes and get everything, and that's like 50 that's bucks. True. Which I guess 50 bucks is the, I don't know. It's all for whales anyway. That's all this is, which is why it's so sick. Is like anyway. Anyway.
Wales ruining the economy. All right. Y'all game in from Raycast says, since it hasn't been talked about in the podcast, Invisible Ink. I don't think you ever played that game, did you? Probably not.
Nope.
Invisible Ink is a espionage. It's like a roguelike espionage game where, like, you are a team of spies and you have to go through, like, areas sneakily, obviously. And it's different missions. Sometimes you have to extract someone that's been captured. Sometimes you have to, like, extract data. Mm-hmm. It's a great game. I spent a lot of time on it. It kind of, you know, I was getting, obviously I'm Mr. Roguelike, so it doesn't matter what type it is, I'm going to at least try it. It was good, and I still have it on my desktop, and I still play it from time to time, but now, if I'm going to play that style of game, like the top-down RPG type deal, then I'm going to play Star Renegades. So that's the only thing. It's Invisible Ink is definitely a good game, but Star Renegades is hitting my RPG roguelike area a little better. So, yeah. And then the last question from Hexetera says, do you think that Genshin Impact's in-game content being locked behind a timer system, Resin, will affect its longevity? Yes. I think unless they fix how much resin you get over time, or they fix ways to get resin, that a lot of people are probably going to start dropping off because the resin system forces you to wait. So I don't know how many games you play on, like, on your phone or whatever, but basically resin is the energy system of that game. And like, where if you play Brawl Stars, if you play Fire Emblem Heroes, you can only play so much at a certain amount of time energy. Until your energy builds back up. Right. So in Genshin Impact, you can play the game as much as you want. You can go around the world and farm as much as you want. But some of the good loot is locked behind dungeons, and the dungeons or the domains, I guess, you have to spend resin on them. You give your cap of resin 120 resin. You cannot increase that cap. At least there's no way that has been shown to increase that cap yet. and you get one resin per 8 minutes. And so, like, if you do six dungeons, you're out of resin. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you have to just, you know, go around. Or you can spend your fragile resin, which increases it by 60, or, like, replenishes by 60. But you don't get that much fragile resin in the game.
Okay.
So later in the game, that means that there's going to be a lot of times where you play your six dungeons and just log off. And, like, I think that people, when they want to grind, they want to grind, you know? And you're kind of stopping the grind because of that. So I can see that affecting it if that's not something they try to address soon enough. I did hear that there were some rumors that they're going to have someone that will give you resin or some shit at 12 and 6 in the main town. So there's something. It's just still, it's... Energy is a hard system to sell in an adventure game.
They
or a grinding game in general.
They also might not care. Because it sounds like to me that's a system that's like, again, that's built for whales. Because any time that you block a player off from continuing, you run the risk of, like, they're not going to come back. Which is why games love to do dailies, where it's like every time you log in, you get X, you get a little bit of currency, you get a diamond or something. And I feel like any time you stop a player from continuing to play the game, you are taking a serious risk. If you care about them continuing to play, maybe they don't. Maybe they only want, again, this, like, super hyper-focused crowd to spend money on that resin to keep playing.
I mean, they made the big money already, so, mm-hmm. you know, if they decided we're not doing shit else again, like, y'all all have been got already. Like, all of you $1,000 spending in the first week, got.
Yeah.
Got, bro.
Yep. Just put out a new helmet, and, like, that's our big update. You can, a new hat. Congratulations. As you
said, it also might be a requirement to prevent people from playing too long. And honestly, it is a China-based game, and they're kind of strict. So I could see that.
Like curfews? Like,
yeah.
Bedtime!
Your resin is done. The game just shuts off. Like,
no more game. Time to study. You gotta do good in school.
Oh, man.
Yo.
So, yeah, man, I think that's all the questions that we had today. Sure. Guys, if you guys want to get your questions in, make sure y'all use the hashtag #YallGaming. We do this every Tuesday that we have stuff to talk about. Usually, we'll find stuff to talk about throughout the week. Doesn't always have to be a new game either. Just because there really isn't that much coming out.
Steve this tonight, month. Baby.
Well, Steve tonight, yeah. So we got that, but we'll be talking about that on Hard Reads too.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just like if you guys end up having stuff you want to hear us talk about, man, just use the hashtag #YallGaming. I do have it open on my tweet deck, so I can see anything that's put on there. And yeah, well, in November though. We're going to have some stuff to talk about, bro.
Yeah, November is popping. So Cyberpunk comes out 3 days before Juliet's birthday, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to beat that game in 3 days. Because otherwise I'm going to be at her birthday party thinking about gaming. You feel me? Like,
I mean, you're going to ask her? You been gaming? Like, got honey, one question for you, Julie. Like,
honey, listen, I know you want me to pick you up, but I need to get back into Night City. Come on.
God, man.
You'll have a birthday next year.
I'm pretty hyped for that one too. I'm hyped for that and Assassin's Creed. But yeah, I mean, like, people have been psychoanalyzing every video like that they can of that game. And honestly, there really just isn't a lot that's out of it for us. So I understand, but kind of reminds me of like what did that game explain? How they just put their trailer up and don't really say anything.
Yeah.
Yes. We got a new trailer for Steve, guys. I think that character's gonna be crazy. Anyway, here's the trailer. I'm like, what?
There are YouTubers whose whole job is to put up the thing and be like, what does this mean? I don't know. Like and comment. Oh, like, it's that's the whole I feel like I looked at the gameplay and it actually doesn't look great. It looks very like Fallout-esque. But I it's CD Projekt Red, who's apparently great. I've never played.
You like Fallout though.
It's okay.
Okay.
Fallout. I like Fallout for the same reason I like Far Cry. It's like I know it's not good, but it's again it's tickling my brain in just the right spot. It's like ooh, the rat pushed the button and now I get the cheese. You know, it's like when I play an Ubisoft game. It's like ooh, I climbed this tower and now the map fills out. Serotonin. You know, it's like I'm not actually doing anything and I'm not really having fun other than checking things off on a map. You remember Maneater?
Yeah.
So
that was definitely a checking game off the map or check things off the map for the way sure. That 100% in 11 hours.
I was going to do yeah, exactly. I did the same thing. It was like so the way that I described it, I was going to do reviews on my YouTube and then I scrapped the idea, but my review for Maneater, I called it's like you're picking up Skittles in an empty parking lot. It's like you're walking around it. Red Skittle. Got it. Boom. 1% done. Here's a blue Skittle. Boom. 2% done. And it's like, I'm not actually doing anything and I'm not having fun. I'm just like checking things off. And I could just delete the game, but I don't know. I feel I've already played.
I think that was the thing with Maneater is like, I enjoyed, like, the concept of it was simple enough for me to enjoy, but no, it did not change, revolutionize anything. If I didn't beat that game in 11 hours, I wouldn't have beaten it.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Yeah, it's a mess. And the fact that it was short was good, too. We could talk about this on an extra episode. I'm sick of these long games, dude.
Ooh.
If a game is shorter than, if a game is longer than 20 hours, I don't know, dude. I just.
All right. That's a topic for next week's Y'all Gaming. It's going to be, are y'all gaming shortly? You know what I'm saying? Like,
there we go.
Y'all gaming within a reasonable time frame? Like, that's what
y'all I'm... Y'all gaming in moderation? y'all doing your chores? y'all cleaning? Y'all doing the dishes? Y'all doing laundry? Like,
oh, man. No. Well, that is... Wait, what about Red Dead, bro? Hold on.
Yeah, Red Dead is mad long. No, you're right. Red Dead is long, too. It's you know what it is? I don't like... I liked Red Dead, but I didn't like it being that long because like the one like you could cut off a third of the game. I really liked Red Dead, but you could have cut off a third of the game and it would have been fine. If I really like a game, I'll go hard. Like I have 40 hours in Hades. That game was great.
For sure. Yeah, that game's great.
But the worst thing, like I started playing Alien Isolation, and I hated it to start. I didn't even get past 10 minutes. I really didn't like it. But
damn.
I found out that game was like 26 hours. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? How long can you keep the... Have you ever played it? Do you know Alien Isolation?
No.
It's basically just like... It's like Amnesia. It's that kind of horror game, but something's chasing you. But how do you
keep... For 26 hours?
That's what I'm saying. How do you keep the tension up? At a certain point, I'm like, bro, I'm so bored. God, man. And people love it. People say it's good. I hated it. Because, like, it's not for me. Whatever. It's the same way that I see Dead by Daylight, and I'm like, that's Tag. You're playing Tag. It's not scary. I don't know. We're going deep on the opinions here. Sorry. We'll talk about this next week.
All right. Next week, we will talk about long gaming versus short gaming, and whatever y'all come up with by using hashtag y'all gaming, make sure you go ahead and get those tweets in between now and next week, because we'll read them all. This episode actually ran a lot longer. That's the thing about this show. I feel like we could just talk forever, so we have to.
It's a good time, dude. I always like doing this. We always have like one thing on the docket, and then we just sort of blow up and keep talking. It's a good time.
Yeah. So guys, we'll have another episode for you next week. Most likely, I'm talking about like 99% sure. If you are late or you want to hear this again, make sure you go check it out on the Apple Podcast, the Spotify Podcast, or my YouTube, as the full video does go up on my YouTube too. I'm TK Breezy.
And I'm Coney.
That's Coney. And y'all gaming, but y'all game safely. Good night.